You guys, I'm glad that you are here. My name is Clint. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Crossline. Excited to get to speak with you this morning and excited to continue this series, God, Just Tell Me, right? We started this series last week, and this series is inspired by Life Church and Craig Rochelle, a series that they did. And last week, Kevin kicked us off by talking about how what God's will is, right? We talked about the four wills that God has. And if you missed any of that, I can't encourage you enough to go back and watch it. You can find us on YouTube, or you can go to our website, crosslinecommunity.org. You can find that service there, but a lot of great stuff in there. But at the end of the day, one of Kevin's big points last week is that knowing God's will, understanding what God wants for us, understanding what God's plan is, like all of those big questions that we have, right? Understanding those questions starts with knowing God's heart. Right? And so that's what last week was all about. We're going to kind of continue the conversation this week. This whole series is designed to sort of demystify this idea of God's will, right? We all have big questions. We want to know these big things, and it can feel really mysterious. How do I know what God's will is? How do I know what God wants? How am I supposed to figure this out? It can all feel really confusing at times. And so this series seeks to demystify that process a little bit, and then also give us some real practical tools so that we can discern what God wants for us and what He is calling us to. And so, like I said, we're going to continue that conversation today. But as we start, I want to do something with you guys, all right? So here's where we're going to start this morning a little bit different. I want everybody to just close their eyes for a second. Just close your eyes, all right? And I want you to imagine something with me. I'm going to describe something, and I want you to picture this in your head. The year is 1911. This is a time in the world where the word impossible is being erased from the dictionary. Electricity is beginning to make its way into homes where it wasn't before. Communication across the world is now possible with the telegraph. Science is exploding. There are new discoveries being made all of the time. Man-made steel can conquer anything. And maps of the world are nearly complete. Only two spots remain blank, the North and the South Poles. Okay, you can open your eyes. Two men stepped into that blank space, and it's going to be these guys right here. Roald Amundsen and Robert Falcon Scott. Both of these men were roughly the same age. Both had the same world-class reputation. Both would stand on the edge of the known world. And both made the exact same decision: to head 900 miles into the deadliest environment on Earth in order to reach the South Pole. On paper, their paths were identical. They faced the same percentage of bad weather, 56%, and the same brutal terrain. So, if their decisions and the conditions were the same, why did one of these men return in triumph while the other die just miles away from safety? Well, years before this race to the South Pole, Amundsen chose to live with the Inuit people. He didn't just study them. He became a student of their way of life. He learned that fur was better than wool and dogs were superior to machines in this extreme cold. But see, Amundsen wasn't just making decisions. He was becoming a man who understood the reality of the environment that he was about to trek into. Scott, on the other hand, was going to rely on British grit and the latest in modern technology. They had motorized sleds that a man could stand in front of and pull with ease, right? But these sleds hadn't been tested for Antarctic extremes. See, Scott viewed it as noble for men to haul their own sleds rather than using dogs. His character was shaped by a rigid belief in his own methods. And Amundsen's team would make it back from their journey, and Scott's would not. After Scott's team was found, they were discovered with 35 pounds of geological rock samples on their sleds. They were exhausted and freezing, and yet they refused to let go of their scientific mission. Scott's decisions that he made in the moments that he made them were dictated by the person he had become. Someone who couldn't prioritize survival over prestige. Meanwhile, Amundsen's team returned from their journey so well prepared that they actually gained weight on their journey back. Two men on the same path with radically different results. See, we put so much pressure and stress on the decision, right? Did I pick the right college? Am I going to the right place? Is this the right job? Did I take the right job? Did I say yes to the right thing? Is this the right move for our family? Is this the right place for us to live? Is he or she the right person for me? But truthfully, in our search for God's will, we're asking the wrong question. We spend so much energy asking, what should I do? When the better question is, who am I becoming? See, the tension we need to wrestle with is the fact that who you are affects everything. It affects how you respond to stress. It affects how you handle conflict, how you lead your family, how you navigate your successes, and how you recover from failures. Who you are directly affects the kinds of decisions that you make. This is why Amundsen and Scott can walk the exact same path, and one literally grows through it, and the other is crushed by it. Not because the path was different, but because the person was different. And so here's the uncomfortable question for us this morning, as we are thinking about what God's will for us could be or what God wants us to do. What if the biggest thing shaping your future isn't the decision in front of you, but the character inside of you? What if the biggest thing shaping your future and what's next for you and what's next for your family isn't a decision, but the character inside of you? I mean, think about this. Do you spend more time asking God for direction or asking God to change you? Because I think we a lot of times want God to tell us where to go and what to do when God is trying to transform who we are. See, we want direction, but God is after our formation. And in the Bible, which is the revelation of God to his people, right? The Bible actually clearly shows that God's will is so much more about who you are than what you do. And this is where following Jesus starts to flip everything for us. See, truthfully, the Bible actually says very little about your future. Who you marry, what you do, where you live, what job you take. But it has tons to say about how you live today. Like when Jesus talks about worrying over the future, he says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. He says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Jesus is talking about the things that people worry about. He says, hey, don't worry about that stuff. Instead, seek God, and the future is going to handle itself. Seeking God and his kingdom is about who you are and how you live, not necessarily the direct decisions that are in front of you. The book of James says it even a little bit stronger in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. He says this, look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there for a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that, right? And look, it's not bad to plan, okay? It's not bad to have a plan for your future. It's not bad to, you know, think about what things could look like in 5 years and 10 years. I know we got some people that are planners in this room. You're just like, that makes me feel so much better when I have a plan, right? It's not bad to plan. But at the end of the day, nobody in here knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Our lives could look dramatically different in 24 hours than they do right now, right? And so what James is trying to tell us here is that none of us knows the future, and God's not trying to give us a detailed plan. What God's trying to do is he's trying to build a dependent person. He's trying to get you to seek him, to know him, and to serve him. That's what God's after in us. This is why last week we talked about how knowing God's will starts with knowing God's heart, right? Before we ever teach you how to discern and find direction or hear from the Lord, we need to make sure that we all understand what the most important thing is here. We put so much thought into discerning God's perfect plan, but at the end of the day, we actually don't even stand a chance of discerning God's will until we start living transformed lives. We read it in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is what Paul writes. He says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." This is really important. Paul is saying, hey, like, offer your whole self as an act of worship to God, right? And don't be caught up in the ways that the world does things, all right? Don't watch everybody else, you know, go to this college or have this kind of job or make this amount of money or own that car and think, man, I gotta have that, right? Don't be caught up in the customs and the ways that the world operates. He says, instead, let God transform you into a new person, talking about who you are, by changing the way that you think. And once he changes the way you think, well, then you'll be able to know what God's will for you is. And the order is really important, right? Because I think so often we assume, well, once God gives me a direction, then I can follow him in obedience, right? And that's the kind of order that we assume. But Romans tells us it's the opposite. It says that it's transformation through the way we think and how we live. That comes first, and then clarity of God's will grows out of that. Right? As our minds renew, our ability to discern grows. God forms the person before he clarifies the path. And so if you're here and you're having trouble figuring out what the path is, it's possible, it's likely that God needs to do some more forming before he gives you a clear direction. I remember the last church I was at, I was in a place, I'd been doing student ministry for a while, felt really good about it, but the last church I was at, it just didn't work. Like, I did not work there, like, nothing I did worked. Everything I did basically failed to a certain degree, and it was a really tough season for me to live through because I was like, God, you called me to student ministry, I'm supposed to be here, you know, like, I thought you called me to this church, and basically while I was there, the youth group just got smaller and smaller and smaller month over month is what it felt like. And so I was in a place where I'm like, God, do you not want me to do this anymore? Like, what is your will for my life? Because this is clearly not working. Everything was difficult, you know, and it wasn't just at work, it was my wife's job was difficult, us finding a place to live was difficult, like every turn we made, we were finding resistance and difficulty. And I was having it out with God one day, and I just remember clear as day, I was like, God, you said that I'm a youth pastor, like, but it's not working. Is there something else you want me to be? And he said, you are not a youth pastor. You are my son. That's it. And I have called you to love students. But that can take place a number of different ways. And like, it was a really formational moment for me because I had this identity around my job, right? I was like, I work in student ministry. I am at a church. Like, I had gone to that church because I wanted so badly to be full-time in ministry. I had been part-time up until that point. And so this church was actually going to pay me enough money where I didn't have to have two jobs. And I was like, yes, we are going. Let's move to Alabama. And it just didn't work. And so God had to do some forming in me. And once I made it through that season, well, then God called me and Kirsten to Orlando, and now we're here. But I think he needed to do something in me before he called us here. God's primary will for you is not tied to a job, a location, or a significant other. But you might be thinking, like, but doesn't God have like a call for my life? Like, doesn't he want me to do something? Doesn't he have good works for me to do? And, you know, I have these skills. Shouldn't I go be a vet? Or shouldn't I work and teach and do this thing or work in the church? Like, doesn't God have a specific call for me? And like, sure, God's got a specific call for you. And we'll talk about how to discern that over the next couple of weeks. But what you do is not God's primary calling for your life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says this: for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. God's plan from the beginning of time was for you to be called to live a holy life, to find grace in your relationship with Jesus. God's primary calling for you is your formation. That's God's primary calling for your life. Before God is concerned with a job title, he's concerned with your character. Before God is focused on where you live, he's focused on how you live. Before God is focused on what you accomplish, he's focused on who you become. Because truthfully, a healthy person, a person who is formed in the image and likeness of Christ, that kind of person can navigate many different paths. But an unhealthy person, a person who's not following God, well, they're going to struggle on almost any path. And so your decision is not as important as who you are. See, God, here's what God knows that we're all learning this morning. The best disciples make the best decisions. The closer you stay to God, the more you are formed into the image of Christ, the better decisions you're going to make. The more you'll be able to discern what God's will is moment to moment, not just those big life-altering moments. And so God doesn't just prepare a path for you. He prepares you for the path. It was actually about 5 years ago. I was praying. It was around New Year's. And I was like, God, just like, what, give me a direction for this year. Like, I don't know what's next for me. And I heard God say, just be healthy. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get in the gym. Here we go. I got this, God. And he's like, yes, that. But also, I want you to be mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically healthy. And I was like, okay, well, that's a lot of work. Like, this, that's a lot of things, you know. And so I was like, okay, well, what am I going to focus on first? I felt like God was calling me to get spiritually healthy. And so I started jumping into stuff like Celebrate Recovery and Soul Care. And I just really started working on my soul with God. And over the last 5 years, I've continued to work on that and work on being mentally healthy and work on being emotionally healthy. I'm still trying to get physically healthy. You know, we'll get there one day. But I'm working on these things, right? But it was not until that point where I started chasing being healthy and being who God was calling me to be. Once I started doing that, guys, I started to see some things change. I started to see my influence grow. I started to see my capacity grow. I was able to actually go and do the good work that God had prepared for me. I became, over that time, and I'm still becoming, a better dad, a better husband, a better pastor, a better son, a better brother, a better friend. That's God's will for me. And it's God's will for you. Like, that's God's will. Primary will, right there. You want to know God's will for your life? You want to know your calling? I'm going to give it to you right here, short and sweet. The primary will of God and calling of God for every believer is to be shaped in the image of Jesus, period. You want to know what God's will for your life is? That's it. Chase that. Seek that. Go after that. And the rest of the decisions will fall into place. Because here's the truth. If I am a great preacher, I'm okay. But if I become a great preacher, right, but I neglect my family, that's not God's will for my life. If I lead in the church and I create some great ministries that help a bunch of people, but I'm dishonest all the time, that's not God's will for my life. I'm convinced that God would rather me do anything else and have integrity than to do this without it. And I think that's true of all of us. No matter where you're at in life, what you do, where you find yourself, like that stuff is not near as important as who God is trying to shape you and form you to be. Being a pastor for me is a secondary calling. Being formed into the image of Jesus is my primary calling. Seeking to live a holy life, that is my primary calling in life. And look, this kind of formation that God seeks for us, it doesn't just impact, you know, our life's path, but it has great impact on our families as well, right? This is important for your families, for your kids and your grandkids. They're not just shaped by the decisions that you make. They're shaped by the person you are becoming. Your patience shapes your home. Your humility shapes your marriage. Your repentance shapes your children and how you navigate that relationship. The greatest thing that you can bring to your family is the person you are becoming. It's not a paycheck. It's not provision. It's not a great school. Those things are nice, but those are not the greatest things that you can bring to your family. We tell our families who are going into child dedication, when we do a child dedication here, I give families homework. And one of the pieces of homework that I give families is like, hey, I want you to go home and as a married couple, talk about, pray about, think about, who do you want your child to become? What are the four or five words that you want to define your child as they get older, right? Not what school do you want them in, you know, not what college do you want them to go to, not what job do you hope they have or who do you hope they marry. Those things will come. But who do you want your child to be? Begin with the end in mind. Because who we are becoming and how we are being formed is the most important thing about us, and it will impact all the rest of our decisions. And so if God cares more about who we're becoming than what we're choosing, well, then the question now becomes, how do we become the kind of people that God wants us to be? Like, how do we do that, right? And this may seem super obvious because we're in a church, but you got to start with Jesus, right? You got to start with Jesus. It all starts with Jesus. It always does. You need a personal relationship with Him. You've got to seek a relationship with Christ. You can have a real relationship with Jesus. Not just a I believe this or I go to church, but an actual relationship because He is alive. We celebrated that on Easter. God is alive and you can have a real relationship with Him. We've got to follow Him. We've got four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the first four books of the Old Testament. In those four books, Jesus shows us what it looks like to live as somebody who is shaped by God. Jesus Himself said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father doing, and I don't say anything I don't hear the Father saying. And so Jesus was always making decisions that were perfectly in the middle of God's will. Right? Why? Because He was seeking God. That was the most important thing to Him. That's the kind of life that we seek to live. And so as we read through those Gospels accounts, as we look at the life of Jesus and we build our relationship with Him, then we will start to be formed in the image of Jesus, which is God's primary will for our lives. So I would encourage you, man, if I don't know when the last time you read through the Gospels was, but I would encourage you to read through them. Like, spend some time. Find one thing in there, and I promise you it's not hard, but find one thing in the Gospels where you're just like, ooh, I don't do that. and then make that your, like, I'm going to choose to be obedient to that. I'm going to choose to try and see more of that in my life. Start with Jesus. And look, if you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never started a relationship with Jesus, you have no hope of finding God's direction for your life without that relationship. And so I don't want to take another step forward in this message without giving you an opportunity to do that. So would everybody bow your heads and close your eyes? If you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never crossed the line of faith, but you want so badly to know the purpose of your life. You want so badly to know the direction of your life. God wants to give it to you. But it starts with knowing Jesus. And to do that is super simple. We say yes to Christ. We say we believe He was who He said He was, and we surrender to God. And so if you're ready this morning, I'm going to pray, and you can use my words as your own, and you can say something like this. Dear God, I want to know Your will for my life. And I know that it starts with knowing Jesus. Right now, I say yes. I believe Jesus was who He said He was. I believe that He was born of a virgin. I believe He lived a sinless life and died on the cross in my place. And I believe that You raised Him from the dead 3 days later. Right now, I surrender my will and my way. And I commit to following You and following Jesus for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that decision today, one, let somebody know, all right? Don't leave and just have that be only for you. Let somebody know. But two, you are now on the path of being who God's called you to be and becoming who God's shaping you to be. Once we start with Jesus, man, this week I would encourage everybody to strengthen one formation rhythm in your life. Strengthen one thing, right? Right now I'm taking a class on spiritual formation, and this last week I was given a helpful illustration. The teacher said that spiritual formation, this path that God has us on, is kind of like a spring. You guys know a spring? It's like a spiral, but it has, you know, goes up and up and up, right? And so we're all in this cycle with God. And we learn some things, and then we start doing some stuff, and we feel really productive, and then all of a sudden, things don't maybe feel as significant as they once did, and then sometimes we hit a wall, and it feels like nothing means anything anymore, and then we have a breakthrough, and we're just like, hit this new level with God, and we kind of go up on the spring, and then we go around again, right? And we kind of go through that same thing. And that's spiritual formation, that's discipleship. And so, no matter where you're at on your journey, you have a new level with God available and ahead of you. And so I would encourage you to pick one practice this week. Maybe for you, your prayer life's been lacking. And it's been a while since you really just spent some time in prayer with God. Maybe for you, it's like the Bible has been neglected and you needed to, you know, blow the dust off of that thing and read a few pages, all right? Maybe, you know, it's a confession. Maybe you've got some sins, some secrets that you've been holding on to that nobody else knows about, and it's time to tell one trusted person. Maybe it's gratitude. Maybe you've just been in this cycle of negativity, and you need to spend the next 7 days just telling God thank you every single day. But pick one thing and do it for 7 days this week. Pick one thing and just practice it every single day and strengthen one thing, because here's the thing about formation. It's not about a checklist. It's not about like, dude, I did it. I'm a good Christian now. Like, when we get in that space, we got to change it up because that's not it. It is about a daily submission to Jesus. Formation practices, prayer, reading your Bible, all that stuff. It is about the renewing of our minds, like Romans talked about. And when we do that, we begin to see God's will. And then lastly, I would challenge you to commit to the work. Here's what I mean by this one. Every single one of us is still a work in progress in here. Every single one of us. And so I challenge you to submit and commit to that process. Guys, I'm still in process. Right now, God is forming several things in me. Right now, I'm in process of figuring out what it looks like to be a good husband and a good dad in this current season. I'm in process of figuring out what's a good way to use my time. I'm in process of figuring out how exactly do I need to be spending my money. I'm trying to figure out what is rest and what is work and my relationship with those things. And that's just to name a few things that God is still like forming and shaping in me. And so I just want to encourage you, no matter where you are, whether you're 7 years old or 77, God has a will and a calling for your life. You haven't messed it up because it's not fragile, and you can always get back on track. If you feel like you've missed God's will for your life, I want you to know something this morning. He's still working, and he's still working on you. So no matter where you're at, God has something he wants to form in you. And so to close out our message today, I want to give us a moment here at the end to just kind of sit and pray and reflect on what that might look like for you. And so the band's going to come out right now, and they're going to get ready to play this song called Still by David Crowder. And this song is all about how we are still in process and how God is still working on us and forming us. And so as the band plays, what I want you guys to do is just right where you're at, right in your seat, spend some time with God and ask him one question. God, where are you forming me right now? And maybe you're here and you're new to a moment like this. I want to give you a prayer from the Psalms that's been very helpful to me in different seasons of my life. This is Psalm 139. Verses 23 and 24. This is what David prays. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." You can pray that in this next moment. Ask God that question, where are you forming me right now? And as the band sings, bring it to God and then just listen. And wait, and see if God brings something to your mind. If he does, I would encourage you to write it down. So let's take this song to pray, to think, to write down, and then commit to the work with God.
Still making me better, gonna do his thing. Oh man, I'm working on me still. Yeah, He's working on me.
Amen. Guys, that song is so true. God is still working on each and every one of us, and hopefully God spoke to you in that moment and showed you a place where He's still wanting to form and shape you a little bit. Because at the end of the day, formation has to be our focus. When we start to focus on our formation, the stress and the pressure around decisions becomes less. It shrinks. Because truthfully, the best disciples make the best decisions. And so God's not just forming and having a future for you. He's trying to form you for the future, right?